Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's nothing but the truth. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, it's good to see each one that can make it to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, you in the middle. It's good to see you all today. Amen. And all you other guests. And all you not guests. We're really all guests because we're pilgrims and strangers anyways. We're getting out of here. 2 Timothy, if you have Bible tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, it's been a while since the Lord's done this to me. You think you have a direction, and you don't. I might be in the wrong. Yeah, that's right. That's where I want to be. It's good to be a Christian. Amen. Amen. Pray, because I'm hoping not to keep you all night, but this topic could go on and on and on and on, but that's really the Word of God. And I'll explain that a little bit more tonight. 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I'll save that for later. I'd like to preach tonight, information versus revelation. Information versus revelation. Let's bow our heads before Him. Hallelujah. So we approach our King and Savior. Do you have a need you'd like to lift up to Him with a raised hand? Say, Lord, You know what's in my heart. God bless each one. He sees you. Let's pray, everyone. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the gathering of the saints tonight. Though the world we look at on every side is falling apart, we have a haven of rest in Your presence, Lord, knowing that we've received a kingdom that can never be moved. It doesn't matter what comes. Lord, You've provided the way. You've given us a shout to prepare us to leave this world. And we thank You so much for that, Lord. Thank You for each one that could be here. Bless them tonight. Bring each one of us closer to You. Forgive us, Lord, of all of our sins. Lord, mold us. Make us into the image of the Son of God without a blemish, without a spot, as You promised in Your Word. Lord, I pray if there's anything wrong in us that You'll drive it far away from us by the Word and make us what we ought to be. Heal every sickness that's here. Deliver every captive, Lord, and prove Yourself alive today here amongst Your children. We commit this service into Your hands. I pray, Lord, that You'll speak through my lips, but God, hear through every heart that's here. We ask It to be so. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Hallelujah. This topic, as I said just a minute ago, just trying even to narrow it down, I'll just tell you my little pattern here. I've learned that if I keep it, my notes with all the scriptures and quotes usually that I get together, if I keep it at 4 pages, I don't keep them too long. And I've learned sometimes I got 1 page and I keep you here forever. But I've learned if I go over 4, you're going to be here a while. So it was hard to get the 4. I kept thinking, I'd like to say this, I like to do this. And I'm like, well, just maybe. That's what's nice about being a pastor. You can take part 2, Sister Violet. It's all right. You don't got to run off to the next place. You can keep right here and stay right on it and right on it until we get it, you know. I looked it up here recent. Since August, I haven't taken a series. I did all up till then. Every time, 10, 20, 30, 40, I can't remember how many parts, but I hope you've been enjoying it. I know I have. I just know the Lord knows what we need in due season. But this concept here, it's a revelation in itself. What the difference is between information and revelation, that the more and more that we walk with the Lord, the more that we grow closer to the end of all things, we're beginning to realize information really isn't cutting it anymore. A lot of people know a lot of things. I just looked it up in the Bible. You know, you look up one scripture, it says at the end time, it was Daniel 12:4, that they'll run to and fro and knowledge will be increased. And then you turn around in Hosea, I looked it up, it's Hosea 4:6. He said, but my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So you begin to, if you use intellect, you use information, the Bible just contradicted itself. It said in the end time that there would be so much knowledge, we'd be going all over the place doing everything. But at the same time, everybody's perishing because there ain't no knowledge. Why? God is differentiating between two kinds of knowledge. One is something that you thought up. One is something that the devil gave you. And one's something that God knew before the world was here. Amen. Revelation is not information. Too many people have got too many, they live their life in information. And what is it? It'll be what this scripture just read. You know, you might not think it's this bad, but it'll start towards the end and kind of work its way back up. It says, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. They can never get to that rock place where they know that they're saved, that they know that they got the Holy Ghost, that they know it doesn't matter what happens in life. I'm out of here. That's right. And then the second the devil takes that away, you'll go before that to where you just start denying the power. That I know this message is right, but we just can't live like we're supposed to. We've got to have the TV again. We got to fit in. We can't wear, you know, as modest as we did when we called old Mother Hubbard and everything. Come on. Our boys got to look like everybody else and wear sissy shorts and because they'll get made fun of. Look, if you're afraid to get made fun of, you're in the wrong religion. That's right. And even more so, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And you keep going back. And once you give that away, you say, there's no power. We just got some form. We just go to church. We read our Bibles. We read quotes. We say, I believe God sent a prophet. And you know what? I don't think you do. Because if you had a revelation that God sent a prophet, you wouldn't just flip through a page once in a while and just say, well, nice. God sent a prophet. God sent a man with thus saith the Lord, and I better heed what he said. Then the message isn't extra credit. It's the message of the hour. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There is no revelation for this day outside of what God brings through a prophet. Right. Amen. And I can prove that by the Bible. The Bible declares it. You can't define something with the Bible differently than the way God said it was defined. Amen. Amen. Why? You start going from revelation into information. Yes. Hallelujah. I didn't plan on starting with that scripture, so there you go. But that sealed it for me. That's what I was trying to get to. I couldn't think of where else I was heading. I just heard it recently here too from a brother talking about another minister he was speaking with. And he said, he's read the Bible enough times now that he'll go to start reading and he'll be like, well, I already know what this is going to say. That's a minister. Why? I said, brother, I said, that didn't strike right with me. I said, you know what's happened? And this is where I got my thought. They've made it's information now. It's not revelation anymore. Oh, mercy, goodness. I've read the story about, you know, David and Goliath 100 times. And there ain't but once I haven't got something new out of it. That's right. And it ain't applied to me in some other way. It's not a textbook. It's God's Word. Amen. But without revelation, it stays a textbook. As the prophet said, I know I have that somewhere. He says we too often we just read it the wrong way. It's out of Fellowship, 1956. And he went down, he's talking about going to the altar. He said he went down and knelt and he said at the altar, raised his head up and his heart almost failed. There was the suffering. There was the agony of Christ. The sculptor had cut into the face of the cruel sufferings that he did. And it made a difference. It took the critic into tears. That's the way it is with God's Word. God's Word is not supposed to be learned like a newspaper story. It's supposed to be tried to figure, it's not supposed to be tried to figure out. It's to get down, look up to it and say, God, be merciful to me and give me faith to believe your word. I accept now the blood of the Lord Jesus for my sins. Then it'll look a lot different. It'll make critics believe in divine healing. It'll make those without the Holy Spirit, never been born again, know nothing about God or the new birth, become seekers of the Holy Ghost and not to be an argue. Yes. It'll put a love in his heart where he looks through the blood of Christ to the Word of God. Yes, Lord, you died to make that Word real to me. It'll change your whole attitude. It'll make you a different person. Amen. I had a student come to me today, and it kind of caught me off guard. I'm not used to that usually. I don't get asked things that caught me off guard too often by the grace of God. But she came up to me and says, what do you tell somebody that says they don't feel God? And I don't feel God all the time. I was like, I don't really understand what you want from me. You know, I don't know what you're getting at, you know. And I began to, she said, well, they're saying that they looking for God, but they don't feel God. I said, well, then they need to believe. That's the problem. If you don't believe, then there's no point in starting. Because really, I don't need to feel God. God never told us to feel Him. He told us to believe Him. That's right. And real revelation, sure, it comes with feelings. Don't get me wrong. I know God's not dead. I can feel Him all over me. That's fine. But if you base it on that, my, you'd be watching a movie, feel the same way. You'd be watching a good football game, and woo, that was, man, that was good. But that ain't the kind of inspiration I'm looking for. I'm looking at something that comes from heaven that don't just make me feel good, but it gives me a change in my soul. It molds me into something that I wasn't before. It makes it to where you ain't got to push me to go to church. I'm getting there as hard as I can. You ain't got to push me to love on the Lord. I don't know how not to do it. That's right. And you might think somebody's crazy. Get rid of your information and get their revelation, and you'll understand why they get the way they do. Hallelujah. Because anymore, you know what? I've been talking with brothers and here and there, been fellowshipping and things, and I begin to realize I got a question for most folks these days. Well, you know, we got to complain about this church and this pastor and the way they do this and how we do this, and we're just, you know, where are the gifts? Where are this? And blah, 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 blah. When it's all done, I say, okay, brother, forget all that. Let me ask you something. What about Jesus? What about Him? Do you still love Him? Are you even worried about Him? Or are you worried about a form of godliness that has no power behind it? Because we've turned the information of the gospel into just a textbook when it's a literal person. It's a literal man that walked on earth, that went to the grave. I just had a revelation this myself. I don't know how to explain it, but he physically stood back up. And he came and he walked in. He said, look, touch me. I'm not a spirit. Put your hand right there, Thomas. I'm alive. And because he lives, I live also. He died once for sin. I died with him. It's over. It's settled. I don't need none of your information. I got a revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When people begin to not emphasize revelation, that you've got to hear from God yourself. You've got to know the mind of God, especially in this day more than any day. There's so many voices. There's so much interruption. There's so much information that we're so programmed to learn it that way. Amen. You know, you got a kid comes up and says, how do I do this? You know what he'll say? Go Google it. Somebody already figured it out before. And that'll happen a lot in the message. What do you think about this? Well, just go look up the quotes, I guess. I ain't saying that's necessarily wrong, but it is if you're just trying to find information. Amen. And you never take the time to get down and to get in fellowship with God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Amen. He'll lead you to the right quote. Amen. Yeah, he will. He'll lead you to the right scripture. Because the second you begin to leave revelation and go for information, you can still have the right word. Yeah. Sure. But it won't be used right. It'll be misplaced. It'll be misunderstood. It'll be mistimed. All kind. And I can show you example, example, example. And that's why I tried to shorten this up. It's happened so many times in the Bible where somebody just doesn't get a revelation. It happens to unbelievers more than believers, but it can happen to believers. Sure. Let me read you some scriptures here if you got some time tonight. Luke 13:13 says this. I guess we'll turn there. That's all right. Hallelujah. I like the Bible. Amen. It ain't a newspaper. I hate the newspaper. That's the most depressing thing I ever read in my life. There ain't nothing good no more. Nothing. Luke 13. And let's just start at 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And I love it. Do you know why did he pick the Sabbath? Why didn't he come a different day? To expose that they only had information, they didn't have any revelation. And he, behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. That means anger, if you didn't know. Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Think of how deluded of a person you have to be to look at somebody that has suffered for 18 years. Not days, not minutes like most of us can handle. If God don't come and get us in 18 seconds, we already done doubting Him. And here's a woman suffered for 18 years, comes to the Messiah of all places. Praise God. Got there. Amen. I don't care if you're waiting 18 years. Go to Him. It's the only thing that's ever going to help you. Amen. And she got to the Messiah, and He said, "You can be well. I loose you." Put His hands on Him. Glorify God. She was up there praising Him. You think if anybody'd be happy, it'd be the preacher. It'd be the minister. It'd be the man that was supposed to be holding the Word of God. Called of God from all the way to Exodus. The sons of Aaron, the Levites will take care of this word in the house of God. Yet, He's the one that stands up and takes the word and totally misplaces it. Men ought to work for 6 days. Healing the sick is work? What are you talking about? And the Bible already says, a preacher profanes the Sabbath himself. Why is he getting up and preaching on the day he's supposed to be resting? That's what Jesus stumped him up with, isn't that right? Now look what he says here, verse 15. And the Lord answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whose Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day?" If anything, it glorified the Sabbath. It finally gave this woman rest. Amen. That's why he said the Sabbath, or man wasn't made to worship the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given to man to help him rest. Amen. And look, if God took 6 days and he said, "I'm going to rest," I think we ought to rest a little bit. Right. Amen. Sure. And we're here. Oh, never mind. Let me keep going. Verse 17, "And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him." Isn't it such a sad state? And look, this is infiltrating the message these days. We can't get too loud and out of order, because then we're disrupting God. No, we're disrupting your little religious ceremonies, and God's trying to get it back into the church, because the Holy Ghost is not controlled by information. He's not controlled by man's wisdom. He's controlled by His own will. And His will is the Word. And the Bible said He sent His Word and He healed us. Amen. He said He inhabits the praise of our people. Amen. I had the same brother tell me that he watched a minister in the message get up and shut a service down because people are starting to get free in the Spirit. They're starting to, holler. And then they had some women's meeting. And they told the sisters, "You don't need to be hollering and doing any of that." And you might not think that's a big deal, but that's where God inhabits. If you don't like praise, don't go to heaven. Right. If you don't like getting in the Spirit, you ain't going to want to be in heaven, because that's the only condition there is to live in. Yes. Hallelujah. Some people will be so miserable to go to heaven, they'd rather go to hell. You can't think a dirty thought. That's right. You can't judge each other. You can't be jealous. You can't be the big shot. We're all in love with each other and our Maker there. Amen. Yes. But it takes a revelation, brother, sister. We've got too much. It's not even legalism. It's just dumb. It's just dumb little forms and rituals and stuff. I just can't take it no more, hardly. It's like, who cares about that? How about we pray? You know, how about we, I don't know, seek God? How about we trust God? How about we believe God? And no, we need to sing like this. And if we don't play like that, well, forget it. Can't get in the Spirit today. And if, like I said before, but it still happens, if that family didn't come to church, we'd have had a good service tonight. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for them little brat kids, the disciples had the same doctrine. They shoved those children away. Listen, we think they were nice and orderly. Brother Branham said, and he was dedicating, I just listened to this, he was dedicating a baby and started squawking a little bit. He said, "I believe it was kind of like that when those children were coming up to Jesus and for Him to bless them." Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, I don't think we should let them just be brats. That's why we got a rod. Put it back in line. But they're going to do it. That's right. Don't discourage them, man. These kids in our church have led all of us into a deeper walk with God. I don't know if any of us have ever beat any of them to the altar in this church in a year's time. Hardly anybody will come forward unless one of these little guys decides to come up and pave the way. Why? Because David's still alive. You won't do it, Saul. You won't do it, Eliab. Fine, I'll do it. Is there not a cause? And bam, hits that Goliath right in the face. And you're looking for something big and fancy. He's sitting right here getting prayed for, getting healed. There was a miracle here this Sunday. Amen. That's right. Brother Justin told me he couldn't lift his head. Or he said it was hurting him real bad. So I guess I didn't really pray. I said, be healed, buddy. And I went like that and just lift his head. I said, how are you feeling? Great. He went over there and started praising the Lord like this. Amen. You say, why do you got to make a big show? It ain't about a big show. It's Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, day, and forever. It's the true revelation of God that we aren't coming into a religious ceremony. We're not coming by tradition. This is Him. Amen. This is the one true living God. He ordained us to hear His word this way. Amen. And He's ordained you to receive it the way you are right now. Amen. If you'll just accept it, believe it, let revelation strike. There ain't a gate, there ain't a devil nowhere can stop it.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Bam dealt with something like this. Excuse me. Let me take a drink here. Because in the Branham Tabernacle, thank you, Lord, they had a crucifix. If you've ever been there, it's this ain't nothing. That crucifix probably this tall, if I remember right. And Brother Branham says this about it. This is, and I always remember this quote because it's in the Seals book. It's God Hid Him in Simplicity, 1963. He said, there's rooms and robes and everything for baptismal service. And then one thing. Many people have always felt bad at me. Many people who really don't know the Scripture about having a crucifix in a church. I remember one time of something happened here about that. I had three crosses, and a brother got all shook up because another denomination said that a crucifix was meant Catholic. I want some student or somebody or some born-again Christian to say that Catholics has got the option on the crucifix. Crucifix of Christ doesn't represent Catholicism. That represents God, the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Now, saints represent Catholicism. We believe there's one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ. But Catholics believe in all kinds of mediators, thousands of women and men and everything. Any good Catholic almost that dies becomes an intercessor. Now, crucifix of Christ represents Jesus Christ. Amen. See the difference when it's just information. You say, it's just like Brother Branham will talk about another time, how in the Old Testament said, you know, don't make any idols. But then build these cherubims and put them over my mercy, and I'll meet you there. Said it goes without understanding. They don't realize that God is God. And you'll never put it together in your own little peanut brain. You're trying to travel in a very finite world into something that spans all things. Amen. And you're thinking you can do it. That's why man is so boastful when you begin to think that you could even say there is no God. That it would be one thing to say, I don't know. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But for people to be vehement that there is not a God is one of the most proud statements you could say. Show me, how many cells in your body? You don't know. How many flakes of whatever you call this carpet, the little threads. How many threads of carpet are in this? We don't know the simplest of things. So let's just assume a man knew half of everything there was to be known. You're telling me God couldn't be in the other half somewhere? So they're literally saying they know everything. Do you see why God... Just imagine, you've all dealt with this, haven't you? Some teenager come up and they know everything. I was there a few years back. They know it all. They got it all figured out. But you know that they don't. And this is how... Now, I'm not talking the world now. I'm talking religious people. I'm talking even people with religious demons in this message as well. They got all the answers. They got it all figured out. They know everything about everything. And yet, when it's all said and done, God just looks at them and says, you missed the whole point. There's 6 days to be healed. Don't come on the Sabbath. The gifts were for Pentecost. They're over now. We don't need. We got the Word. What's the Word? What are you calling the Word? You calling the Word this book? So let's just go put it up here on a little pedestal and we'll all bow down and worship this book. That's not the Word. The Word is the God that is this Word. It's literally who He is. This is His makeup, but He's not pages with ink on them. He is a person. Amen. And He's alive. Amen. And He doesn't work in information. He works by revelation. Amen. Revelation takes what's the Word and makes it alive. Amen. He didn't just put up or shut up. He brought the Word. That's right. They had a man sick of the palsy. Couldn't get him in. They finally got him through the top. He said, you're forgiven, boy. Go home. How can you forgive sins? You're a man.
Right?
He said, fine, I'll prove it to you. Stand up and walk out of here. That shut up your doctrine real fast, don't it? And you know what? Anymore, when I hear this stuff, I said, that's fine. You know, tell me how I'm wrong about this or that. Let me know the last time you prayed for somebody and they got well. I ain't talking maybe or kind of, you know, I'm talking right here, right now. Let me know the last time you've seen something supernatural in your church. Because, and you say, how can you make that challenge? Because if they've got informational doctrine, life, they have no life. You've got to be based on revelation of the Word. And the revelation of the Word will never contradict the life of God. It will not. Anybody that has the Holy Ghost cannot call Jesus a curse. They have to love the anointing. Amen. Just trust in the Lord tonight. I hope you're getting real revelation. Amen. Let me read you another one. Shalom, 1964. And that's the gross darkness that's upon the churches and things today. To fail to see the light that's shining. The light that's shining. Not the light that will shine. The light that is shining today. Arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That's right. If you believe this message, we're not waiting for a light. We are in the light as He is in the light. And wherever He goes, I'm going with Him. And that shows I'm forgiven. Why? Because you can't walk in the light with darkness. I'm not half saved. I'm not three quarters. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. You say, brother, you make mistakes? Yes, but I got a revelation. That before you didn't see what I done wrong, God saw me from the foundation of the world. He said, that's mine. And nobody will pluck him from my hand. You've got to have the same faith, the same revelation. I don't care, prophet, priest, king. It doesn't matter. If you don't have a revelation, you can't be saved. Amen. See, many people don't like you saying that. They think that you got to figure something out then, because they've changed the word revelation into information. Oh, we got to figure out the seals. No, you got to be the seals. Unless you're going to tell me that God went through all that work and all that criticism to put His face up in the sky and to make fun of all of us because they got all their little stipulations that don't make any sense anyways and never will. Isn't that right? Just as much as this guy's doctrine really made any sense. No, not healed on the Sabbath. We're just going to let everybody suffer. And the one day that we come here to worship God, we're just going to let them keep suffering. But any other day that we work and do whatever we're doing in real life, that's when you get healed. Just like people, you know, oh, in the book of Acts, it's an excuse why no miracles happen in their church. Say, well, most of the miracles in the book of Acts were outside of church. See? That, and they just, okay, where are those? Go ahead, tell me where they are. Amen. Yeah, y'all think I'm super critical, don't you? I'm not trying to be. I love people. But I love them enough that I want them to be ready. Look, we don't need to live below any privileges. I don't believe we're at the time now. I think we should be stomping the devil so bad he don't know what to do anymore. That's right. Hallelujah. I didn't even finish that. I didn't even start that quote. What am I talking about? And that's the gross darkness. Listen now. That's upon the churches and things today to fail to see the light that's shining. See, there seems to be such a heavy press. Can you say amen? There seems just to be a press. Why? Because there is a squeeze. Don't let me get you wrong. But you ain't supposed to be living in that. We've been delivered from that. We've been given a kingdom that cannot be moved. Listen now. We take some of the noted evangelists today. And I hate to keep saying this, but I don't want you to just push it off on the Baptist or the Presbyterian. These influences are in the message now. They are. And you have to know that. You have to know, just because someone says God sent a prophet doesn't mean they really believe that. Some of the noted evangelists today, they're constantly screaming for a revival and working right against it. See, not understanding without understanding. And they say, in the mode of trying to say, now we've seen this and glory to God, they're not in. I'm not trying to say that to get people to think, well, Brother Branham, you got the only truth there is in the world. No, that's wrong. See, I'm only saying it in the light of the hour that we're walking in and for the benefit of the people who are trying to seek this light. If we say that it's kind of light but not all, what are you doing? You lost the confidence. You've lost the confidence, and you'll never have true confidence until you got a true revelation. Because somebody can talk you into something, somebody else come talk you back out. And then once you talked out of that, this guy come talk you back in. and then talk you out, and then talk you in, and think, well, that's mighty good. Maybe I ain't supposed to go to church. Maybe I ain't supposed to sit at home and listen to tapes. Got real quiet. Don't let that devil in your life.
Nope.
That's right. You go to church.
Yes.
So I'm going to do what the I'm just going to listen to tapes. Well, how about you listen to them?
Right.
Listen to the prophet said, go to church.
Amen.
He actually said, if you have any love of God in your heart at all, go to church.
Yep.
Actually, you want to be there so bad you can't wait for the doors to open.
Right.
And we all say amen. You know what? I'm praying God make it a revelation.
Yes.
That Lord, no more crying and whining and excuse. All that is you getting back in the flesh, using information. Well, God knows I had a hard day. God knows that, you know, Brother Andrew's loud. And God knows he spits on me. And God knows all these things and I can't really enter in. No, God knows that he sent his word and his word is good enough. I'm only saying this in the light of the hour that we're walking and for the benefit of the people who are trying to seek this light. Truly, Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. No man will never see it. It's the predestinated seed, and that only is going to receive it. But we've come to that place again. The Bible said, you're the light of the world. Amen. Pharisees tempted Jesus one more time. I'm just going to read this one to you. It's Matthew 16:1. He says, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came, tempting him, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Where were they getting that from? It said, well, if you claim to be a man of God, and not only that, if you claim to be the Messiah, our interpretation by our information shows that you'll be able to wipe out the Romans, you'll be able to do all these great things, and if we ask anything, you'll just do it for us, and if we need a sign from heaven, you'll do it. And you'll just let lightning come down, just like, well, that's a good name and doctrine. But last I checked, he wasn't a good believer.
Amen.
Because Elisha came to actually get Naaman healed of his leprosy, and he said, go jump in a river 7 times, and then you'll be all right. And it was the same here. They wanted the Messiah to show them a sign from heaven and could not identify that the inspiration they were receiving already met Jesus back in the wilderness. When he stood on the top of the temple, he said, throw yourself down, because the Bible says the angels will guard thee and lift thee up lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. He left part of that out. You go look up the scripture, you didn't quote it all just right, because you have to take it all. You've got it. You can't bring your own mind into it. And actually, you know what? Without revelation, you'll never put the right scripture in the right situation.
Right.
Ever. It sounds like, actually, I got to read. Praise the Lord tonight. The Pharisees also, the Sadducees came tempting, desiring, we showed him a sign from heaven. Now listen to what he says. He answered and said to them, when it's evening, you say it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it'll be foul weather, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Why? The signs of the times required revelation. The signs of the times required you to be identified, John the Baptist, as the man that did make all the crooked places straight, that did bring all the mountains low and all the valleys up. And you couldn't have done that looking at a man that, again, spit at you, that got in some dirty water with some sheepskins on him and was eating bugs and told you to repent of your sins when you thought you were better than him.
Right.
We got this perception of what Brother Branham really looked like to the world because we love him. I do. I appreciate this message more than anything else. But see, when you go and back in the time when he walked the earth, he was the scum of ministers. They didn't respect him. No, they didn't. And if it wasn't for the power of God, they wouldn't have invited him.
Amen.
That's right, because you know what? Maybe he wasn't as elegant of a speaker as some of these other guys. But God vindicated him.
Amen.
God moved through revelation, not just a bunch of information. Oh my, we got this all fixed up just right. Really? Make it live. Make the name of Jesus do something. Oh wait, you don't even think we should be baptizing anymore. No wonder it doesn't work for you. But God restored it back to us. Not a bunch of information to stuff our heads full. He gave us revelation to give us life, to give us joy, to give us peace, and to give us power to understand the will of God. Hallelujah. He says, too many of us, we're doing what the Pharisees, looking for some sign, and he's already done it. Hallelujah. You're looking for something he's already done. Don't mistime the word. This is where we are. Oh, let's talk about the latter rain, and we'll go this doctrine, that doctrine. We're in it, we're not, we're waiting. Believe what the prophet said. It's all restored. It's here now, falling, getting the bride ready to leave. That's what we're doing. That's what the message of the hour is. If you want to sugarcoat it, if you want to make it to where we're still going to stick around here for 50 years, I don't know if we are or not, but the bride isn't planning on it. She's trying to leave. And she ain't trying to go alone. She's trying to get anybody she can because she knows if she doesn't, they're going to die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It'll miss time, the word. You know, and I'm going to paraphrase some of this. I want to get moving a little bit here. But you can go back in Israel. Right when they came out, you know, they received that promise. Oh, my, we're going to go to the promised land. Let's do it. They'd watched God do 10 miracles. But all of them, besides Joshua and Caleb, had information. It made sense to go wherever God told them because they had watched Egypt get destroyed, essentially. They had watched God come as the pillar of fire and stand between them so they could walk across the Red Sea to safety and watch them all die. And you know what? That amount of information gave them a good shout in time. Miriam got the tambourine out. They had a good time over there worshiping the Lord with no revelation. Because it wasn't but, you know, a little time and they're murmuring, complaining. Oh, we're hungry. Oh, we should, oh man, we love Egypt again and we want to go back to TV and everything. This Christian walk just boring. Well, that's because you ain't spending no Christian walk. You're living a religious walk. And that is boring. You're right. It is limiting. But I'm not looking to get satisfaction here. I'm looking up to where there is no limit. Amen. That's right. Because they came, remember, and Moses said, go. I'm going to send the 10 spies over here. This is the land you're going to. This is everything we've been looking for. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are. This is the time to take the land. Amen. And what happened? 10 spies went over there. They said, what was the detail of this God didn't tell us? Well, I'm not too liking of that. So there's giants in the land. I don't know about this, God. I don't think we can do it. There's giants in the land. Do you understand how much people love sports, brother? Do you understand how much people need good work these days? And they can't be risking that, you know, trying to come to church. They can't be risking that, you know, witnessing things. It's okay for them to not do all those. It's okay just to be a nice casual believer. There is no casual believer. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as being on the sideline in the army of God. You are either on the front lines or you're not in the line. That's right. You're not part of it. You're either part of it or you ain't. That's right. And they got there and they heard the report. We understand. But what most people forget is that the next day, they said, you know what? We thought it over. Working on that information side again. We'll go do it. We'll go do it now. It seems logical. Now that we've thought it through and kind of felt bad yesterday, we'll go ahead now. I'm sure the foolish virgin is going to think, you know what? We probably should really get the Holy Ghost. I think we really should. Because last I checked, I don't know where that brother went. Might be time to get ready. But here's the problem. It's too late. It was too late. They came to Moses and said, look, we're ready. We're ready now. We've forgiven. He said, look, it's too late. He said, you can go, but we're not. And then they presumed, as the Bible says. That's where Brother Branham gets presuming. It's out of that scripture. He says they presumed to go. Why were they presuming? Because the word didn't go with them and the prophet didn't go with them. And that's why I don't worry about these degenerate souls that's left this message and preaching all kinds of nonsense because I watched them go without the word. I watched them leave the prophet of the hour. And you know what? There ain't no hope out there. Good luck. But you're going to die in your sins. That's right. Because Jesus said, if you don't believe that I'm He, if you don't believe that I'm God, and we've got a revelation this day that the same God that was made flesh is made flesh again today by the Holy Ghost. It's not a different God. So for you to say you would accept Him then and not accept Him today proves you a liar.
Amen.
You're using information. Revelation says if He was then, He is now. And if I can't accept Him now in this form because I don't like it, there's giants in the land. That brother's got problems and I know about them. I can't overcome that. God can't use that. Yes, He can.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. If you just would have obeyed the word, if the Pentecostals would have obeyed the word, they would have went in the promised land. That's right. But they rejected it. They turned it down for prestige, for information, because they didn't like what they called petty doctrines.
Amen.
I said, Brother Branham, you know, if you just let go of this, you know, baptism in Jesus' name stuff, and this women ministers, just kind of sweep that under, we'll accept you. I said, what are you talking about? Actually, we just heard us on the way here, didn't we? Ellie, I don't know, she probably wouldn't listen. That's all right. I was listening to it, and then Rosalie started screaming. That's what it was. The ark didn't go with those bunch of degenerates. The prophet didn't go. The word didn't follow one day late doctrine.
That's right.
It follows on time doctrine. Amen. It was another time some men tried to impersonate the word. I've already preached on it, but the sons of Sceva, you understand, were trying to apply the word by information, not by revelation. They thought we can stay in the denomination, knowing that what we're trying to say we believe condemned it. Listen now, we're going to preach in the name of Jesus that Paul said that he left all of everything we are right now. Paul said he counted it as dung and left it to preach in the name of Jesus. But we're going to do both. We're going to stay as sons of the Jewish priests, and we're going to be believers in Jesus. And they went to try to use that information against the devil. Here's the thing, I preached on this here recently. The devil, he is a bluff, but he can call your bluff. Yes, he can. And if you're bluffing, he's going to win. He's a better bluff. That's right. And that's what happened. They said, we adjourn you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. I know Paul. I heard about him. Actually, he got cast out last week. I remember Jesus. He got Beelzebub over there. I remember that one. That was bad. Well, who are you? The devil has a little bit more revelation than most people. The devil knows there's a God and trembles. See, he knows who God is. He is God. That's why the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Because if you don't obey his word, he's alive. He's alive, and you've turned down the one source of life. Oh my God, help us tonight.
Wow, amen.
Hallelujah. I've already read through that. We've got to take all the word. That's what I'm. We've got to take it all and say, no more, no more. I don't like that quote. No more. I don't like that scripture. No more. That's too hard. That's too difficult. I'm too tired. I'm too lazy. It's the word.
Amen.
Amen. You know what, brothers? I hate to break it to us, but the Bible said we should be lifting hands all the time.
Amen.
Giving God praise.
Hallelujah.
With holy hands. Why? That's without wrath or doubting.
Right.
Hallelujah. And I know we're living in a day where, man, it's so easy to get mad. I hope I'll try to make sense of this. I dealt with something I couldn't believe I was dealing with in an Algebra 2 class in high school. I was going to teach, and I'll try to paraphrase some of this, but dividing polynomials. So I went back and I got a fifth grade division sheet. Fifth grade. And I printed it off so we could review that to do what I wanted to teach. 5 out of 14 kids could do it. That's where we are. That's where we are as a nation. Now, praise God, somehow a miracle happened today. I'll tell you what, I was getting observed by my assistant principal, and they actually seemed to understand something. So, praise the Lord. Maybe I finally got them off their phones and iPads long enough they could listen and actually learn something. Who knows? You know what? That's probably why we're so dumb anymore. We don't even try to learn because we just want somebody to give us the information. We don't want to actually gain a revelation. And that works naturally, too. Oh, it sure does. I've worked with guys on the restaurant. They can't seem to get the picture of what we're trying to do here. We're trying to make a steak. We're trying to put it on a plate. You're going to put a potato. We're going to throw a knife on there because you can't eat the steak without it. And we're going to put it on a tray for somebody to give it to eat.
Yep.
And they'll be like, well, what do I do now? Okay, put a potato. Now what? How are they going to eat it? It's not cut open. Oh, okay. It says butter. Put butter on it. Who wants a potato without butter? Actually, some people do. That's the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life. How are they going to eat that steak? Well, put a knife. See, there's no concept. The systematic step by step. Too many people, that's their life with God.
Right.
Oh, I get up and I do this. Whatever it is. Some people read, pray. And you should do that, but you need a revelation. And I'm getting down to spend time with him. I'm reading his word to hear from him. I'm doing it because I like to. I love the Lord. And if you don't, pray. Say, God, open my heart and get this. Whatever this is that's keeping me from loving you, drive it away from me. Amen. That's why when I heard that, he said that, that student came and asked, I'm just trusting the Lord tonight. This is all over the place. I hope God puts it together somehow. I'm not used to being like this. But he said, that person was seeking God and couldn't feel him. And I was like, well, that's not true. If you want to seek God, God will make himself known. You're not going to tell me God's a liar. What we just read there. He said they ever learning, yet never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Some people think that God is trying to hide the truth from people when God has done everything in his power to give you the truth. And I can show you, it's right in the Bible if I can remember where I put that. Let me find it real quick. You got some time tonight. It's 2, that's why. I exhort, therefore, this is 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all them are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable. Listen now. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So God has not withheld the truth from people. They've done what John said. The light came. You can't stop God. There ain't no unbelief ever stopped God. And it's still not stopping God. I don't care how many preachers say it can't happen anymore. The light is still pressing forward. But if you don't love the light, that's the condemnation that comes on you. It's because you turn the light down and you fall in love with darkness more. Just more. Remember what we read there a little bit ago. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They've got enough information that they should love God. But if you had a revelation of who God is, what God has done, how much He loves you, there ain't even a room for second place on the list. There's just a big piece of paper that says Jesus.
Amen.
Of things I love. Boom, Jesus. You say, what about my wife? It's right there in Jesus.
Amen.
What about my brother? Right there in Jesus. What about the sinner? Right there in Jesus. That's right. Hallelujah. David one time. I'm going to try to wrap this up. I hope you're getting fed tonight. David received a proper revelation from the Lord, but then he sought information about it instead of revelation. He sought, and I'll just read it to you. It's 2 Samuel 6:1. This can be my last scripture, the good Lord willing, tonight. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000 chosen men. Where was Nathan? Where was the man we needed to talk to? Nowhere to be found. This was a time where David presumed. He did. This is why I love David, and I've told it before. The most gallant thing about the man is when he made a mistake, he made it right. He didn't make excuses. He came back to the Word, and he went right back to the prophet. After I get reading this, I'll show you. And he said, how are we supposed to do this? And he said, okay, let's do it right this time.
Amen.
That doesn't mean it was a dead service either. Listen. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark upon a new cart. A new message, a new messenger, an updated version. Upon a new cart. And brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood and even of harps, and of psalteries, and timbers, of cornets, and cymbals. They had a good shouting time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know what? In the message, we've lived in so many dead services that finally about time we get shouting, we think, glory to God. You know, what a miraculous thing has happened. And that's not really, it ought to be there. That's right. Look, when David brings the ark next time, they were shouting and praising the Lord too. Don't get me wrong. But that's not the focus. The focus was how they handled the Word. Amen. I used to think that, to be honest with you. I used to think just finally we get shouting and having a good time and praising the Lord. Well, we finally did what we're supposed to do in church. Which, yeah, that's we're supposed to do that. But I began to realize, I want to see God. I want to see something that I know a man cannot do. And look, if you think shouting and praising shows that you're serving the real God, you can't go to a football game proving that doctrine. They get a lot more response than what we've ever gotten in church. Shame to us, that's true, but hallelujah, that's all a bunch of put on from the devil. All right, let me finish this. And when they came to Nahor's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took a hold of it, for the oxen shook it, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perah-Uzzah to this day. We're here at this time. The Word is on its way into the heart of every believer. That's right. And I still believe we've got some. I believe in it with all my heart. I believe we got family that we're going to see come back to the Word. But the Word's got to come the way that it's promised in the Bible. It doesn't need to come, and even just through the preachers. It's coming through the bride. It's coming through the Holy Ghost-filled believers. They are the true way. They're the Levites that are holding up the world, holding up the Word that's going to the world. Amen. It's not to be on some new car. It's not to be on programs. It's not to be just on the internet and we don't never witness in person no more. Or we just hand tracts but can't seem to talk about anything that we believe. Can't lead nobody to Christ. We can just lead them to church. There's something wrong somewhere. You ought to be able to show this thing. How? Because you got a revelation. That what the Bible says is right. Wherever he is, there I am. And wherever I am, he is. Because his Spirit is in me, we've become one. So there is no looking for God. I know where he is.
Amen.
Amen. There's no worrying about how to handle it. He told me how. Amen. And that's why so many quotes are making so much more sense to me. The bride will do nothing unless she has thus saith the Lord. Amen. Which is a revelation, not your information. Hallelujah. Y'all know this quote, but I'm going to read it again. Exposition in church ages, revelation of Jesus Christ, out of the church age book. No man knows the things of God save the Spirit of God, and he to whom the Spirit of God reveals them. We need to call on God for revelation more than anything else in the world. Anything else in the world. Yes, because if you get a true revelation from God, you won't have to pray for love. You won't have to pray for patience. You won't have to pray for these things. They come with the Word, because the Word's Christ, and everything he is getting pushed out of you. When you get a true revelation from God where it opens up that this is what I'm supposed to do in my life. Amen. This is what I'm supposed to do today. Come on. Hardly anybody. When was the last time you said, I know God told me to do this? It ought to happen a little bit more often, I think.
Amen.
Amen. We need to pray more than anything else in the world. We have accepted the Bible. We have accepted the great truths of it, but it is still not real to most people because the revelation of the Spirit is not there. The Word has not been quickened. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, listen to this, that we have become the righteousness of God by our union with Jesus Christ. Did you get it?
Amen.
It says that, and this is in all caps, we are the very righteousness of God Himself by being in Christ. It says that He, Jesus, became sin for us. It does not say He became sinful. That's where you cross the line. He became sin for us, that by our union with Him we might become the righteousness of God. If we accept the fact, and we must, there goes all your opinions about it, and we must, that He literally became sin for us by His substitution for us, then we must also accept the fact that by our union with Him, have become the very righteousness of God.
Sure.
Think of that for a minute. Not that I'm part holy, or I'm getting good, I'm getting better. I am the same righteousness of God because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To reject one is to reject the other. To accept the one is to accept the other. Now, we know the Bible says that it can't be denied, but the revelation of it is missing. It's not real to the majority of God's children. It's just a good verse in the Bible, but we need to have it made alive to us. That will take revelation. Oh, brother, I just don't know why I can't get the victory. I know what Brother Bram said. I know what the Bible said, and you've met these people. They just go on and on and on. They know the quotes. They know the quotes. They know the Scripture. And they keep saying, well, I'm trying this. I'm trying that. Stop. Where's your revelation? Do you have a revelation? Well, you know, I know I'm saved, but maybe I'm a Judas. I've heard this stuff. What revelation is that? If you identify as a Judas, look, that's not just being backslid. That's someone that Jesus said was so bad. It would have been better for that guy to never be born in the first place. There was no hope for him. Jesus said, look, I'll save all, you're all sanctified except him. Because the scripture must be fulfilled. He's the son of perdition. And you're telling me that you know you got the Holy Ghost. And you rebuke ministers who say you need to get the Holy Ghost, even though you say you do. But on the other side, you're telling me you're Judas. There's a revelation missing somewhere. Amen. Amen. That's right. And the six-year-old got that one, didn't he? Hallelujah. Let me read you one more here. Actually, you know what? I think I might just stop here. I think we understand that. Let's stand together. I'll save that for something else. We'll see what the Lord has for us. Hallelujah. Jesus said this. I'm going to read this scripture and close. It's John 5:36. He says, "But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself hath just sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believed not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Where was the promise to get saved? It was in the scriptures. It was there. Well, why did Jesus tell people that had to have it memorized? You need to search it. Because they had only learned it by information. They never had a true God-given revelation. Church, don't be that in this day. Don't you dare. Say, Lord, if it isn't real, and I'm talking any promise in the Bible, if it isn't real to you, don't make excuses. Don't ever doubt it. Say, Lord, there's something wrong with me. It's getting real quiet real fast. But we need to call on God for revelation more than anything. When the Bible says that He'll make a way when there is no way, we understand. Then we have no room for excuse. We have no room to complain about anything else. We don't have room to even complain about what's going on in life. The Bible says all things are working together for good.
That's right.
That takes a revelation.
Amen.
Because God lets us go through hard things. I understand hard times, brother, sister. I was just talking to students today about a time I had to, because I told them how my schedule's not really flexible at school like other jobs. You know, we get time off, but I can't just randomly take things except something bad happens. And I remembered when my mother committed suicide. That was hard. That was hard. But I believe the Bible. My wife believes the Bible. That was a test. Yes. Do all things really work together for good?
Yes.
See how hard it is to say amen to that. But it's true. Because God is not a liar. No, He isn't. I'm so convinced. I don't care what happens in life. God knew about it. God ordained it or allowed it. Either way. And it's working together for the good. God help us to do that with even our little daily things. We get so upset. We get so frazzled with the simplest things in life. Quit using a bunch of information and just use revelation. I'm a son of God.
Amen.
I've got authority down here. Emmanuel, Dad, see. God called me. He didn't call me to NEH. He called me to right here in Laodicea, right here in Northwest Ohio, to be a Christian where I am. And if you'll stick on that revelation from God, the devil can't move you no more. It doesn't matter if he brings, because that's what he does. He'll bring you. He ain't going to bring you something you don't believe in. He'll bring you the word. But he'll misquote it. He'll mistime it. He'll misplace it. But if you can come back to revelation, you said, no, 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 devil. It's all so written. Isn't that right? Amen. Listen, go ahead. Let's worship now. Believe it. Hallelujah.
Found Emmanuel.
love His presence tonight. Sing it again with all your heart.
Emmanuel.
Worship in the Spirit. Worship in truth tonight.
Emmanuel.
Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Receive the Holy Ghost. Yield yourself to Him. Hallelujah. If you base too much of your life on information, say, Lord, you know what? I don't really pray for revelation. I don't really base my decisions on revelation. I just think whatever I feel is good, and I do that. But I'm asking the Lord, Lord, get me away from that. It leads me astray. Lord, I want revelation tonight. I want to live a life of revelation. God bless you, brother, sister. God sees that heart. He knows what's behind that hand. God will answer your prayers. Hallelujah. Let that revelation strike that God, look, He said, ask and you shall receive. What more could you ask that God would want to give you but His will? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God didn't leave us here ignorant. We don't have to wonder if we're serving Him right or if He loves us or we love Him. He's given us revelation for it. Believe it now. Keep pressing on into that. Say, Lord, this is my absolute. This is my absolute, the revelation you've given to me, that you are Emmanuel. That, Lord, even tonight, you spoke to me. Hallelujah. See, as you believe that, it begins to have a real effect. When you recognize it's not some preacher tired and trying to figure out what he's supposed to say, and no, it has nothing to do with that. It's that God knew what he wanted to tell us tonight. And you heard from him. When you receive that, the devil can't do nothing. It'll take away every doubt. It'll take away every fear, every complex. You just got to yield now. I'm telling you, don't be cold-hearted at all. Break down before him, and God will build you up what you're supposed to be. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Aren't you grateful for him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Is there anyone who just wants to recommit themselves to the Lord tonight? Oh, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord. Do you feel the Spirit moving through the place? That's true. That's true. Hallelujah.
worshiping Him. Keep thanking Him for it. Keep saying, Lord, I believe You. That's why I'm here tonight. It's to be done with this. It's the case closed, Lord. That I know who I am. I know what I'm doing. Because You revealed it to me, Lord. I know why we've had these struggles in my house. You've shown it to me, Lord. And it ain't going to stay that way. That's why You showed me to it. Hallelujah. To deliver me from it. That I wouldn't have to watch Uzzah die again, but to let the ark come in with real rejoicing. Back into its rightful place in our home. Back to the altar, the family altar that we established to You. To my own personal altar that I've established to You in my life. Sure, you ought to get up every morning, brother, sister, and pray to God. You ought to read your Bible every day. You ought to seek Him. But God wants all your time. And He deserves all your time. He wants you to go on, to drive to work and to talk to Him. I challenge you to do that. I challenge you, brothers, sisters, look over in that passenger seat and realize He's with you wherever you go. And He's not a figment of your imagination. That's His promise. Wherever you are, I'll be there. He said, He told the disciples, when I die, you'll be sad, but when I raise again, you'll have joy and no man will take it away. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord Jesus. Is the Holy Spirit still moving through each one? Souls getting right, souls getting delivered, that's for sure. Thank the Lord God. I do want to open up the altar if you would like to come forward for prayer tonight. You can come right now. Thank You, Lord. I don't disrupt nobody out there. You keep pressing on in the Spirit. That's right. You worship the Lord. You let Him do. The Spirit ain't wrong. That's right. What He says is right. You do that. I don't care if it's cry, scream, shout. It don't matter. But you do what He says. If He says repent, you better do that too. Sis, or anyone else. Don't be ashamed. That's fine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're here to help. We're not here to shame you. We're here to get you back to the light. And it might not be spiritually. It could be. But it could be naturally. It could be physically. The Bible says that God wants our bodies to prosper as our souls do. That's right. Thank the Lord. Just go free tonight. Believe Him. Lord God, open your eyes to what God has done for you in this day. Hallelujah. How He's blessed us, church. Thank the Lord. Let me pray.
Jesus, my brother. God's been hurting more than I pray. By His favor, I agree with you. Made well for the glory of God. We thank You for it, Lord, and we praise You for hearing our prayers. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank You, Lord.
Situation that we can lift our hands to You and say, Lord, You do all things well. We commit Vicky to You in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan can't keep her. She's our sister's promise. One of God's, we believe that, Lord. You might win a battle, but you won't win this war. We rebuke you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I agree with my sister. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Oh, praise God.
Thank You, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness.
As I lift my hands in worship,
what a freedom of the Spirit.
And to make
the devil lost that. Thank you, Lord.
Both.